Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together in your presence this morning. We come to worship you. We come to bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we also seek to hear your voice speaking to us. We ask that you would do that now through your word in such a way that we would be encouraged as your people, that we would be strengthened, that we'd be equipped to serve you faithfully throughout all of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, this being Memorial Day weekend, we are at the informal transition point between spring and summer. For some people, that means it's time to open up the backyard pool, clean off the patio furniture, and break out the white pants or skirts. The focus is on the change in weather, which leads to a change in weekend activities. For others, like those of us having grown up in Indianapolis, it may be all about race cars. The whole month has been filled with practices, time trials, and qualifications leading up to the world's largest single-day sporting event known as the Indy 500. That's happening today, by the way. For those who know its origins, Memorial Day has a very different quality to it. It is the day set apart for remembering and honoring those who have died serving in the armed forces of our country. Men and women who have paid the price of laying down their lives for the benefit of others. Doing so, perhaps, with the hope that it will never have to happen again. In many cases, because people made that sacrifice, loved ones who remain struggle to get through life without the ones who died. Sons and daughters have become orphans. Other family members, friends, and fellow soldiers left behind live with the loneliness of their loss. Fellow soldiers who made it home sometimes carry the burdens of those losses and continue to do battle with the memories. Well, in the context of this Memorial Day weekend, we are making deliberate effort to remember those who died, but we want to do so in a way that honors them and the sacrifices they made. Their sacrifices were made so that others may live. Yes, sometimes living with the loss is hard, but to make the most of that opportunity is also part of how we honor them. I think of the scene toward the end of the movie Saving Private Ryan. It loosely based on a true story. In the movie, Private James Ryan was the last surviving brother of his family, his three older brothers having been killed in action. Captain Miller had led the mission with seven other men to find Ryan in order to bring him home safely. With five of the seven killed and himself having been mortally wounded in the effort, Captain Miller's last words were to Ryan, saying, "James, earn this. Earn it." The closing scene of the movie shows the elderly Ryan years later at the grave of Captain Miller. Kneeling before the grave marker as if speaking to Miller, Ryan says, "Every day I remember what you said to me on the bridge. I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me." As his wife comes up next to him at the grave, Ryan turns to her. "Tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me I'm a good man." He was looking for assurance that he had lived his life in a way that honored the men who had sacrificed their lives to save him. That was a burden that he had carried, never really knowing if he had been good enough. Now, I know it's only a movie, but Captain Miller had no right to say that to Private Ryan, to earn this. The sacrifice made by others was never something he could earn. It was only something he could receive as a gift, allowing him the opportunity to live his life. While I'm struck by the pattern of personal sacrifice made for the benefit of others as the theme of Memorial Day and the theme of the movie, recognizing it is also the theme of today's second lesson. As Jesus explains to his disciples in the upper room on the night before his crucifixion, it is through his sacrifice that they will be given the opportunity to live. As he would point out, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The love of God the Father being the shared and demonstrated love of God the Son. A love which prompted the sacrifice so others may live. But the promise of life spoken of by Jesus is even bigger, more broadly encompassing than just our earthly existence. And the verification of the legitimacy of the promise and his ability to keep it will be found in the resurrection of Jesus that will follow in just a few days later when they're talking. Succinctly stated here by Jesus in a way that prepares them against despair as he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Because I live, you shall live also. That promise of life was realized by those first disciples, by every disciple since, and is realized by us today in the context of what Jesus goes on to say here, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. For our time this morning, I want to highlight two aspects of how this gets worked out. First, Jesus speaks of a life he gives in which we have union with the Father. That union is promised as an eternal reality which begins here and now. It's not something that we earn, but it is a union received as a gift by faith in Christ. Provided by Jesus, the Son, in perfect and eternal unity with the Father, who gives himself as our Savior. Received by us as those who are saved. As the Apostle Paul later explains, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Folks, this is where our personal faith comes in. I don't mean that it's true because we want it to be true, no. I mean that we come to know this truth as we trust in Jesus as the one who makes this a reality. Being united to Jesus, we are united to the Father. We therefore have a deep assurance that we live not as orphans, but as God's beloved children. Rather than sorrow and despair, we have reason for hope and joy. Rather than loss and loneliness, we trust the promise to be kept while living the life he gives. Which leads us to the next point. Second, the life Jesus gives includes our having the indwelling Holy Spirit as a present reality. Jesus goes on to say in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This may have been just as confusing to the disciples in the upper room as it can be for us. I mean, if Jesus is going away, it doesn't seem to make sense how he could be with them. Jesus clarifies this by speaking of the Holy Spirit being given to his followers as his abiding presence with them. The Greek word paraclete, being translated into English as helper, counselor, comforter, advocate, all of those titles capturing various aspects of the nature and work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, remember, Jesus is speaking here of what was yet to come. The next day would be the crucifixion. They would witness his death and burial. In just a few days, the resurrection. They would witness his living body risen from the dead, touching the places of his wounds. In the weeks following would be the ascension. They would witness Jesus being taken up. And in less than 2 months would be Pentecost. They would witness the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each and all of the followers of Jesus in fulfillment of this promise. To us as Christians, the Holy Spirit is given as a down payment, a pledge of our full inheritance in Christ, living in each of us so that we have God's presence with us now, even as we await the full consummation that will come when Jesus comes again. The Holy Spirit empowering us to live now in keeping with who we are as redeemed children of God. A life involving transformation of both our character and our behavior inside and out. A life of peace which transcends all the turmoil of this world. A life of joy that flows from knowing we belong to God and no one can separate us from Him. You see, no more paralyzing despair, no more suffocating loneliness, because we are no more orphans. And that is true forever. When Jesus speaks here of the connection between loving Him and keeping His word, He is speaking of this whole package. We don't live fearfully, wondering if we are somehow earning God's love and our place in His family. That is a burden we need not carry. Instead, we live in the confidence of what He has accomplished for us and how that has demonstrated His immeasurable love for us. It is a freedom and liberty which goes way beyond earthly politics. We might summarize it in a succinct way by saying, we have been saved by Jesus who laid down His life for us to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father, and we therefore follow Jesus as our living Lord. As the Apostle John wrote elsewhere, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. We walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, we are free to live as God's children because He has made us God's children. We do honor and appreciate all those who have sacrificed their lives in service to our country so that those who remain may more fully realize the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But as we do so, we are drawn to an even greater appreciation of the work of our Creator and the significance of the sacrifice made by Jesus for the whole world. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we come to see Him as our Savior, who is our living Lord. We are given the opportunity to know more than just the facts and information of what He has done. We are given the opportunity to know Him who has been raised and lives forever. And in knowing Him, to realize our firsthand participation in the reality of God's presence and work in our life. Not because we have done anything to earn it, but because we have received that gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our living Lord. The promise of eternal life is given by and finds fulfillment in Jesus. He wants us to know that in all its fullness. we walk in that life now, even as we look forward to that day when all wars will have ceased and swords will have been beaten into plowshares. That day when we and all his followers will see him face to face. As Bishop J.C. Ryle put it, raised from the dead, freed from the darkness of this world, no longer tempted by the devil and tried by the flesh, believers shall see as they have been seen and know as they have been known. As Christians, we live now with that grand and glorious future in mind, all of which gives us reason for joyful praise to God today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your immeasurable love for us, demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us as our Savior, to redeem us and to reconcile us to yourself. Father, he has accomplished that work on our behalf at great cost to himself. And now we, in him, are given eternal life, knowing you and walking with you each and every day here and now, and looking forward to that eternity with you in heaven. Father, we cannot do anything to earn any of that, but we receive it as your gift to us. As we receive it, we also ask that you would indeed fill us with your Holy Spirit, equipping and empowering us to live the life won for us by Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.